Feast day of Feast of Trumpets, and music was very, very beautiful, Jennifer, so thanks very much for that. You know, the Feast of Trumpets, 2011. I don't think most of us realized that we would be here at this particular time, but we are, and we know that time goes on, and I was reflecting on it even last night. From the viewpoint that when God was dealing with Abraham, that Abraham thought that certain things were going to be happening in his time, and even what he had given to Abraham's great-great-grandchildren as well, and Jacob who came later, and Joseph, all of them were looking forward to all of those promises that they were given to take place. And so God finally had to tell Abraham, he said, it's going to be 400 years before that comes to pass, that particular prophecy. And I thought in my mind, wonder why God hasn't come down here and told us that when it's going to be. Because there's a purpose for all of that. And I think most of us understand and realize that the when, and even in some cases, how, and so, you know, we don't quite understand yet even about. That's what we look forward to. We actually look forward to certain things that are going to be taking place. And God gives us little inklings here and there and yonder to be able to see certain things. And then of other things, we totally blow out of proportion at times, thinking that we do know. So this sermon will be centered around recognizing what God is saying and how we can fit right in with what God wants us to do in our time today. In Psalm the 81st chapter, notice that it starts out by saying what we've already done with our song leader leading us up here, Mr. Parkin. Sing aloud to God. Sing aloud to God, our strength. Make a joyful noise unto the God of Jacob. Take a psalm and bring hither the timbrel and pleasant harp with the psaltery. Now this is all talking about the first of the month and especially the Feast of Trumpets. This gives us a different look, doesn't it? Because so many times we look at the Feast of Trumpets as being a dreadful time. Now it's a joyful time. And I will show you as we go through, it's a joyful time. He goes on to say, blow up the trumpet in the new moon. And how many of you got a chance to see the new moon last night? Well, can you? It's amazing. It depends on whether or not it was at the place that it just had one little sliver around the edge or whatever. Maybe there was too many clouds and you wouldn't see it anyway. But I do know this, and my wife and I notice this too as well, that as you approach this particular time at night, it's darker out there. It's darker out there because the moon, remember back in Genesis, the first and second chapter, it talks about the fact that the moon and the stars are there to lighten the night. So it's not totally dark all the time, and I don't know how many of you have experienced that, but I know when my wife and I were first moved up to New Jersey, the kind of trees that they have growing up there were just all along these roads for miles and miles and miles, and they were a little darker in nature for some reason, those trees were. And even though the moon was out, and even though my headlights were going forward, it seemed dim. You're driving in a dim area because of the blackness of it. So I could understand the value then of the moon and also the stars too as well. So here God says also too, the solemn feast and the time appointed on our solemn feast day. So we are to sing, we're to praise God, we're to honor Him. For this was a statute for Israel and a law of the God of Jacob, and going on, this He ordained in Joseph for a testimony when he went out through the land of Egypt, where I heard a language that I understood not. So I think we see here that blowing of the trumpets means something. Now sometimes, maybe perhaps we got the wrong understanding going on in our minds most of the time as we think about trumpets, rather than recognize the variety of things that trumpets pictures and points out. And I'll show you another dimension maybe you haven't thought of too as well. Because later on you'll find that the Israelites didn't pay much attention to God and His holy days and the others. And that was one of the remarkable things that I saw in the earlier years, in the 50s specifically, when I came to Ambassador College, to the Imperial Schools there. I saw that we had something different, and it was all hinged on and actually surrounded with the holy days. The holy days of God were part of the sign of who God's people really were. And so anyone who's keeping the Feast of Trumpets recognizes that, as well as the regular Sabbath. They are the signs of God's people and of God's church. And I remember even in Pasadena, I would go down to the airport to pick up different ones flying in, such as Mr. Arteguero, who was the Filipino minister who was coming in to visit the college. And we heard, even at that time, there were others in South America and other parts of the world who had been keeping the holy days. But having listened to us and having seen what we did, they said, "I think we're keeping them on the wrong day. Could you show us which days we should be keeping them on?" And so therefore it became a worldwide thing then, as far as everyone for the holy days, specifically to keep them all on the same days. And to me that is in unison with God for what He purposes for the holy days. So we can understand and recognize the meaning of trumpets is a memorial. It's a memorial of blowing of trumpets in memory of what has taken place and what will take place, even in the future. So we have blowing of trumpets for things that have already happened. So that's what it's actually designed for, is a memorial of meaning, you see, what we have in our minds and in our hearts and the church itself and what it's doing. So that's the meaning of a memorial blowing of the trumpets. Go back to Leviticus 23. I'll just read that one back here. Leviticus, the 23rd chapter. And beginning in verse 23, "The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, In the seventh month and in the first day of the month shall you have a Sabbath, a memorial." It's a memorial day, a good memorial day. "Of blowing of trumpets, and it's a holy convocation." And it says you're not to do any servile work there. This is your normal work, in other words. And we realize, recognize, and have for years that it is a sacrifice for all of us to attend in the middle of a week or in some other day other than the weekend. It does, it causes problems in some cases. But to me, it's a wonderful day that actually pictures and shows that we have overcome what the world has said, and now we're in the presence of God to hear what He has to say. And I know this. I know that whenever Moses went up to the mount, and whenever these blasts began to come forth from the mount, the people said, "You talk to us, Moses. We don't want to hear that. That's too scary to hear that big sound coming." And I've often wondered, what would it be like if all of a sudden God spoke to all of us from heaven right now? I mean, that would be a blast, wouldn't it? I mean, it'd be a blast. I'm not sure our ears could take it, although I think He would say it in such a way that would not blow our eardrums out for it. But to recognize that power and to recognize what God can do and what He is and what we're going to be also in the future. So it's a memorial of blowing of trumpets, a holy convocation. And again, we don't blow trumpets all day long, do we, on the Feast of Trumpets? And yet, in one sense, we do. In one sense, we do. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter. 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter. And let's see what the Apostle Paul had to say concerning you know, miracles, power of God, and what God has done in times past and what he will do in the future too as well. Notice what he says here in chapter 14 and beginning in verse 6. Now, brethren, if I come to you speaking with tongues. Now, that was interesting to me because of the fact that whenever the Holy Spirit was given, it says all of them spoke in different languages and different tongues. And it was by a miracle, because actually it says there were quite a few people in that area that had come to Jerusalem and was there to hear them talk. And every one of them, and I think there was at least probably, 16, 20 different languages that was there. And it says that they all heard them speak in their language. Now, again, that became a problem later on. And 1 Corinthians 14 actually talks about that, because everybody thought that was the thing that they should shoot for. Oh, I want to speak in tongues. I want to, that shows, you know, a miracle from God. I want to speak in tongues. Well, Paul said something a little different than that. Notice what he goes on to say. Brethren, if I come to you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you? Except I speak to you either by revelation, inspiration, revelation from God, or by knowledge, which means from the Holy Word, the Bible, or by prophesying, or by doctrine, and even things without life, giving sound, whether pipe or harp, except they give a distinction in the sounds, how shall it be known what is piped or harped? In other words, does it have meaning? Does it have spiritual meaning even? For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to go to battle? I can just see it now, that somebody's riding his horse along and in the cavalry of soldiers, and all of a sudden the bugler blows his horn and a different sound comes out and nobody knows what to do. It's confusion. Nobody knows what to do. Because all of your buglers in the armed forces, they know which sound to make for taps, for reveille, taps going to bed at night and for in the morning to get up. They know which sounds to make so that everybody in the whole camp knows time to get up, knows time to go to bed. And I thought about that when our kids were growing up. And, come along, 10 o'clock at night, if you let them stay up that late. Most of the time, I suppose it's a little earlier since they've got school to go to the next day. You say, okay, to bed with you. It's time for you to go to bed. That was your trumpet. See, you were giving a blast too. Your trumpet was saying something. So it's amazing that the scripture that we see in the Bible talks about the trumpet can actually talk to you and say, come up here. In other words, what Paul had to say here is very valuable for us today. He says, for if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself for the battle? If I were to stand up here and give you information that at the end of services, you don't know what I said, then I haven't blown the trumpet very well to give you what you need and to give you what you need to hear for what is yet to happen, or to tell you what has happened, so that we can blow the trumpet every time we get on our knees to God to give him thanks and praise, because that's what it's talking about here. Likewise, except you utter by the tongue words easy to be understood, how shall it be known what is spoken? For you speak into the air. And that happens. It really does. And it's happening all the time in the world, even around us today. In fact, I was struck by an announcement on the television, Fox News, had talked about Iran. Now, that pricked my attention immediately because of the fact that Iran, the Iranians, are mentioned in the Bible. So I thought, oh, wow, they're beginning to talk about one of the nations in the Bible. So what do they have to say about that? And so I listened, and they said that the Iranians are now taking some of their warships, and they're heading down to the Gulf as well, or from there, even down to America, Florida. Now, someone said, asked the question, why? Why is that? Why is the Iranian government sending warships down towards Florida? And, of course, Fox News hastily stated that we don't have to worry in this country because, you know, it's just a ruse to show their power of what they could and can do. And so,